Welcome to the Victory Worship Center podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jody LaFleur. For more information, visit victoryworshipcenter.com.
We're in our series in John 15, so open your Bibles to the 15th chapter of John. This is part four. Wow. Good stuff. Yeah, it's been long. It's been good, though. There's a lot of meat there, right? And so at those buffets, sometimes you got to hang around for a while to get your money's worth. So anyway, our text is going to come out of John 15, beginning again in verse 14. This was our text last week, but in our teaching, we never got beyond verse 14. Talked a whole 30 minutes on verse 14. So now we got three other verses, so we'll be here a while. Beginning in verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And we taught about that. If you missed that, you may want to look on the church app or on the website and catch that message from last week dealing with verse 14. But in verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. Wow. Wow. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. How many things?
All things.
I'm letting you know what the Father's doing. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're born again here this morning, you've been chosen. You've been chosen. Listen, better news, if you're not born again and you're here today, you've been chosen. Right? I mean, that's it. That's the good news. That's the good news. If you're not born again here, if you're just here feeling this thing out and not sure what to do with Jesus and not sure if you're chosen, let me take the pressure off. If you're here today, the gospel's here, Jesus is here, you have been chosen. Today's your day. Can we give him a big hand clap? Come on. So you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. Wow. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Beginning in verse 15, he starts verse 15 with this word, henceforth. Now the word henceforth means from this moment forward. So remember that this was toward the end of Jesus's ministry. He's been discipling these men. He's been bringing them through a journey, he's been training them for something, right? And so he's been developing them as leaders. And now it's kind of like graduation time, because right after this, we know that that all the events that led to the crucifixion will begin to unfold right after this. And so this is kind of graduation day for these disciples. Whether they knew it or not, this was graduation day. And so he says, henceforth, he says, from now on, you're not going to be my servants. You're going to be my friends. And this was kind of a big deal, because especially in that culture, it wasn't uncommon for there to be a rabbi with followers. It wasn't uncommon for there to be a mentor with proteges, right? And so this was a very common thing that was happening in this culture. But what is uncommon is the fact that he said, you're no longer going to be my protege. You're now going to be my friend. You're now going to be my partner in this thing. This is what it was unusual. Because again, remember the spiritual climate of the day. These rabbis, these Sadducees and Pharisees, I mean, they were very pompous and proud people. Remember, they wore the big robes and they liked pageantry and they loved to be acknowledged. And so it was kind of a big deal to be one of these rabbis, and having a trail, a posse behind you of proteges was kind of a big deal. And if there was arrogance and pride in you, then it was kind of a look at my people deal, right? And so this is what was common for the day, but Jesus is saying, henceforth, from now on, you don't have to follow me around as part of my posse. I'm inviting you into partnership with me. I'm elevating your status. I wanna bring you into a friendship with me. And so what is the difference between friendship and servant according to Scripture. If we can, do this for me. Could we throw verse 15 back up on the screen? And I want to ask you a question. According to this verse, what delineates between a friend and a servant? And I really want you to answer this question. So study the verse. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. So what is the difference between a servant and a friend? Here's the answer. The answer is a friend knows what the Lord is doing. There's inside information. A servant just follows directions. Yes? But a friend knows the why. A friend knows the inside information. And you know, it bugs me every time we quote the scripture, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard what the Lord has in store for men and all this kind of, we all do that. But you know, if you keep reading in that verse in Corinthians, you'll find, but he has made it known unto us by his Spirit. So we start with eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. We don't know what God's doing, but then the covenant switches and it says, but I have given you my Spirit. And so you can now know what I'm seeing. You can now know what I'm thinking. I'm inviting you into a partnership. It's not just this blind following, oh God, I don't know what your will is. I don't know what you're doing. No, he's calling for a people who will partner with him and say, I want to tell you what I'm doing in the earth today. I'm telling you my plans. I need your partnership. I need your involvement. Come partner with me. And so Jesus at this moment is inviting them to become a friend instead of just a servant. Another question for you. According to that information, was Jesus a servant of God or was he a friend of God? Track with me. Was Jesus a servant of God or a friend of God? According to the information we just read right here, I would submit to you that the answer would be that Jesus was a friend of God because he knew what his Father was doing, yes? So he had the inside information. So Jesus wasn't a servant of God. Jesus was a friend of God. And I also submit to you that the reason Jesus came was to show us what it looked like when a man partnered with God. So he wasn't there as a servant of God. He was there as a son of God on assignment from the Father, working the family business, spreading the family cheer, the DNA of the family moving into humanity. And so Jesus was a friend and not a servant, and he is doing that so he can show us what it looks like to be a friend of God. I am a friend of God. We all sang that. None of us knew what we were singing. Anybody ever sung that song? Well, guess what? That was an invitation. It's an invitation to join with him, to know what the Father is doing and then be invited to partner with him. But Jesus did not live as a servant of God. Jesus lived as a friend of God. And remember, we know that Jesus came. I mean, Scripture says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Then if he wasn't serving God, who was he serving? His service was to people. His partnership is with God. His service is to people. Are you tracking with me? So he came to seek and save. He came to serve, but his service was for people. His partnership was with God. And that gives a little more clarity to verse 13 in John 15. You know, we love that verse that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, for his friends, for his friends. He says, there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. Who is his friends? God was his friend. So Jesus is saying, watch this, greater love hath no man for God than us to lay down our life for him. Our first sacrifice is to him. And when we were singing a while ago, when we were singing that song, it just reminded me of our definition of worship. You know that I am a worship leader at heart. Some of you may not know that, but I led worship for a lot of years. And I love worship, and I love being a worshiper, and I love leading worship. But I believe worship is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the body of Christ. because we think worship is showing up here for the first 30 minutes of a service and somebody plays some songs and some words will pop up on the screen there. And we call that worship. We put a little box around worship and it looks like 30 minutes, 4-5 songs if the Spirit's moving. 6 songs if you're moving with the Spirit. We put this little box around it and we stamp it, worship. I'm a worshiper. Why? Because I sing those songs when they're playing them. If I like the song. And if it's not too loud. And if the singer's on key. The drummer's keeping up good, I'm there. Right? So we put this little box around it. I could go on and on. Can you tell there's a little bitterness there from having led worship before? We put this little box around worship. But see, we at Victory have redefined worship based on a revelation that God has given us, and that worship is a response to revelation. When I see and experience the goodness of God, how can I not give my life to Him a living sacrifice? That's worship. Worship is not the singing of songs. Worship is the giving of a life. He calls for a living sacrifice. He doesn't want you dead, He wants you alive. Living a life dedicated to Him. So worship, the worship lifestyle is a worship of giving our lives to Him. So the first expression of love, the first sacrificial expression of love, according to verse 13, is to give our lives to our friend, to the best friend, to the number one friend, and that's God. So He says, greater love hath no man than a man to lay down his life for his friends. The first friend is God. We lay down our lives for Him. How many of you just excited about the fact that you have been saved and pulled out of hell and you are now headed for heaven and you're blessed of the Father? You've been brought into a family. You belong to His family now. You're not a stepchild. You're not an excuse. You're not an accident. You're not that crazy cousin. You've been brought into the family. Hallelujah. And you are a born again child of God. Can I hear some praise in the house this morning for that? Based on that fact, we just give our lives to the Lord. So that's it. Based on that goodness, I'm yours, Lord. How can I not be? What else could I give my life to that has such value? So the laying down of life for a friend is first of all to God. Secondly, it's not even to the world. This is going to offend your religious spirit. It's not saying lay down your life for the world. It says lay down your life for your other friends. It's community. It's about connection. It's about us forming ourselves as a body, laying down our lives and loving one another well. Why? So that the bride will come together and so that the church can be the church, not splintered with divisions and judgments and denominational breakdowns and territorial breakdowns between churches. No, no, no. Lay your life down for your brother. Let's join together as the body of Christ and let's show a picture of our Savior to this world who desperately needs it. So come together like that. There's always people in the church who come up to me and encourage me. And one of them, Kirk Broussard, every time I preach, he comes up to me and gives me an extra revelation that I didn't get. He just expounds on the things that we're preaching. You know, we're talking about abiding in the vine and talking about being branches. And he was just talking to me even about branches, how again, when the branch is attached to the trellis that the vine grows on, there's just an interweaving of the branches. We just need each other, right? There's just an interweaving of that. And he was saying they have a vineyard, and so they even, with the clippings, with the old branches that were cut off, those branches are used to even tie up the branches together. And so there's purpose all the way through this thing, right? And so we need each other. We need each other. We need each other. So we lay our lives down for the first friend, that's God. And then we lay our lives down for each other. Well, what about the world? Listen, the call is to be like Jesus. The call is to be a friend of God, to be friends with each other, and then go back and serve the world. So our job as a church is to serve the world. That's where our effort and energy goes. But it's our love for the Father, and it's our love and connection with each other that spurs us on as friends of God to serve the world, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring help to the people around us. And church, there is a world that needs it. As much as we need to come in here this morning and be encouraged and feel goosebumps lives and experience the goodness of God. There is a world out there who has never experienced God. They're hurting, they're hopeless, they're helpless. You know them, and they're not all homeless. It's easy to recognize the homeless ones. But what about the neighbor who looks good and smells good and has a better car than you do, has a better house than you do, better job, a better wife than you do? I shouldn't have gone there. I should have stopped. I mean, there was a line right there. It's easy to recognize the desperate, right? I mean, the physically desperate. Oh, but there's some pretty people out there who need Jesus, and they need you to bring them, bring the love of the Father to them. So we lay down our life for our friends. We lay down our life for God. We give our life to him. And again, that's not martyrdom. I mean, if you ever have the chance to be martyred, hallelujah. But it's improbable. In the culture we live in, it's improbable. God's not looking for dead sacrifices. He's looking for living, somebody with a heartbeat, somebody who can still talk, who can still touch, who can still love. That's what God's looking for. Is there anybody alive in the house today? Then that is who God is looking for, some living sacrifices. But back to verse 15 with the word henceforth. I mean, again, it's that delineation in time. It's saying, okay, you were once this, and now henceforth, you're gonna be something else. Before, you were a servant. So there's a place for being a servant, yes? These disciples, they spent 3.5 years being prepared, and they were servants. I mean, that was their job. They were in training. They were in preparation. So we're not throwing rocks at the servants. There was a discipleship time. There was a training time. But then there was also this graduation time where it says, henceforth, from now on, you're all grown up. And it's time for you to be productive. And so henceforth, I'm not calling you a servant anymore. I'm calling you a friend now, because I need you to partner with me in this thing. And I need you to move forward. And then he moves on into verse 16. It says, after he talks about that, he says, I've not chosen you. You haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've chosen you to do this. I've chosen you to go. First word, go. Powerful little two-letter word, go. See, they were used to following. They were used to sitting. They were used to listening. They were used to hearing. They were used to training. Henceforth, you're not a servant anymore. You're a friend. It's time to go. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to bring forth much fruit. I want you to bring forth much fruit. How do we do that? You do that by abiding in the vine. Remember our first message? You just stay connected to me, and you just let the DNA of my Father flow through you so that you can bear fruit. But you're gonna have to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to bring forth fruit. It's time to bring forth fruit that remains. And he goes on to say that you're gonna ask anything you will of my Father in my name, and he's gonna give it to you. And here's what I believe the Lord is saying. Listen, training time's over. It's time to get up. It's time to go. It's time to be fruitful, and you are resourced by heaven to accomplish the production of fruit, the bearing of fruit. You ask anything in my Father's name, because he's the gardener and he's after fruit. And so he's gonna fertilize and weed and prune and nurture that vine. All the resources are there, but it's for the one who is going. It's for the one who is producing. It's for the one with a kingdom paradigm. It's for the one who is trying to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So my message to us today, some of us have been being discipled for 40 years. We've been coming to churches. We've been doing the thing. We've been going through the good Christian life for 5, 10, 20, 30, 60, 80 years. And we have yet to go. And I believe God is calling us today. And please, I don't want to be heavy with this. Instead, I want this to be an invitation. I want something to stir in your spirit. Holy Spirit, would you stir in us this morning? The call is to go. To go, to go, bring forth fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. And by the way, when you're doing that, anything you need, ask my Father, he'll give it to you. He's right there. He's ready to resource it. He's ready to go. But see, we've taken that scripture and we've moved it out of productivity and we've moved it out of usefulness for the kingdom of God and we've turned it inward and we just say, anything I ask of the Father in his name, he's gonna give it to me. So Lord, a Lamborghini would be really good. Bigger house, more money, whatever it is. But we have turned that verse in. Now, I'm not saying that this is, I don't wanna get into performance orientation. Like, if you ain't doing anything, then don't bother asking anything of God because he ain't giving it to you. That's not the heart of our Father, right? But the context of this scripture is while you're doing, while you're going, while you're being productive, if you need anything, just ask, and I'm right there to give it to you. I'll give you the provision. I'll give you the open doors. I'll give you the favor. I'll give you the power. I'll give you my Holy Spirit. I'll give you everything you need to be fruitful in this earth. But get up and go. Do something. Walk somewhere. Talk to somebody, and the resources will be there. The resources will be there. So there's no shortage of resources in the God, in the kingdom of God. In fact, if you move on to John 16, and I was actually tempted to begin another series on John 16, because when you roll into John 16, he starts talking about the spirit of truth. He says, oh man, there's a spirit coming. All this stuff I've been giving you, all this talk about fruit, you may be striving and white knuckling it and trying to make this happen, but in chapter 16, something's coming that's gonna make it a lot easier. The spirit of God is gonna fill you and you're gonna have power. And then the day of Pentecost is gonna happen. The Holy Spirit's gonna infill you and now you're gonna have power to be a witness for me in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and all the corners of the earth. But you're gonna have to get up and go. So the tank's full. Some of us are sitting here with full tanks and we've just been topping it off week after week. We burn about that much fuel and we come back Sunday, whoo, I'm topped off again. How about go empty the tank somewhere? How about expend some energy and empty the tank so that then God can refill us? Amen. God has appointed us, church, to get up and to go. And he's resourced us to accomplish everything that he's put in our hearts to do. So what is the application of this? I wanna give you two things. First of all, individually, encouragement is, some of you have been discipled, or you should have been. My gosh, how much training does it take? Anybody ever been there? How many have been in church for more than 30 years? I mean, come on now. We ought to have it by now. Some of us are resourced, I mean, are full and we're trained, and it's just time for us to go now. So individually, the application of this message, my encouragement to you is to go. Understand that Jesus is looking for partners. He's called you into a friendship with him. He's chosen you. He's called you. He's resourced you. Now get up and go produce some fruit. Go bear some fruit. Second application of this is I believe this is for our church. I believe this is a word for Victory Worship Center. I believe this series has been supernatural for us. I think it's been a word in season for Victory Worship Center, for who we are. I believe if you've been coming to Victory for a long time, then you have been taught the word. You know what it means to be born again. You know what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know how to walk, right? You know how to do. Even if you hadn't been at Victory, if you've been at other churches, I mean, if you've been in this a while, then you ought to know by now. But I believe the word for Victory is, we have been taught, I mean, our foundation's solid. I was with some other pastors this week and they were asking me about the church and I always tell them, listen, there's just no drama at our church. Hallelujah. Solid foundation, just solid, stable, steady, healthy. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad to be part of a body that's just like, we're just right there. And that was based on the work of our founding pastors and all the plowing and tilling and foundation work that they've done. I mean, we've just got such a solid foundation that we ought to be able to build something that touches the sky right here because the foundation is just so stable and so solid. And so we appreciate that. But I believe the word for this season is, now it's time to go. Now it's not time, it's time to not be known for being, but for doing. That's a big switch. It's time for Victory Worship Center not to be known for being, but for doing. And so God is wanting to mobilize us individually and corporately to accomplish something for his kingdom. Not that we have not accomplished. You understand what I'm saying? There's just been foundations laid. And now it's time to build something that will reach our community, that will reach our state, that will reach our world. God has given me a picture. I've been speaking about this for about 3 years. God's given me a picture for Victory Worship Center. And it's this: if you've ever been on an airplane, right in front of you in the little seat pocket, you pull it out and you open it up, and there's the little brochure for the airline that you're on. And there'll be a picture of the map laid flat. And then you'll see the cities where the hubs are, and you'll see arrows going from them. And you'll see arrows coming into different cities, and you'll see all of that. That's the picture God gave me for Victory Worship Center. And I believe that message is this. I believe we're going to be a place that sends people to nations, and that people are coming in and we're resourcing them. Our vision is every believer a disciple. Our call is to be a place where we can disciple people, but not disciple them forever, for eternity, for eternally being discipled, but grow them up, get them solid, get them trained, get them resourced, and then launch them into this thinking world so we can do something, right? And so I just see this picture of people coming and going, and I see people being fulfilled in their ministry and realizing ministry and feeling, having callings and having stirrings in their spirit and having these little fleeting thoughts of doing something for the kingdom of God. Those ones that then make you go, nah, that's probably not, I can't do that. That's too big. There's nothing too big. We are resourced by the kingdom of heaven, and whatever God has put in your heart to do, he'll provide for it. He'll give you the strength and the energy and the resources and the provision to do it. But it's time to dream big, Victory Worship Center. It's time to get out of our shell and understand that God wants to do something for his kingdom through us. So as a church, let's go. Let's go. We're resourced. We're trained. Let's get up and do something with it. I believe that's the call that God has given us. Our vision is every believer a disciple. What we mean by that is we don't want you to just sit here and be comfortable just being a believer, or just showing up and hearing more information, hearing more of the characteristics of a believer, the value of a believer, the resources of a believer, what it means to be a believer. Listen, it's time to not just be a believer, but to launch into discipleship, where we actually move into productivity for the kingdom of God, yes? And so that's what I believe the call that God has for us today. I believe as we wrap up this series, the final word is abide in the vine, stay close, stay attached, stay connected with the Father. Without him, we can do nothing. If we lose the connection, it's all for naught, right? But he has invited us into a deep, rich connection where he fills us, where he supplies us, and then gives us the opportunity to bear fruit, to bear fruit. And so I believe this whole series has been about that. Make sure you walk in love. Remember that love is the grease for the skids of all this thing. Our motivation is love. Motivation is love for the Father, and it's love for each other and love for the world around us. So this whole series is about abide, stay in love, but then go out, make an impact for the kingdom of God. Make an impact for the kingdom of God. I believe he's saying that to us individually and saying us to us as a church. And I want you to know, as a church, we need your help. If this is where God has put you, if this is your home, then we need you. I mean, we need you. We don't just need your hands, we need your heart. I believe there's people in here. You know, we've got the ark going on right now, and there's babies in there. And there are people in there rocking them and loving them right now. We need more people in there, people who are filled with the Spirit of God to rock babies. To rock them with, so that the babies have goosebumps. Loving on those babies the whole time, telling them, oh, Jesus loves you. You got a purpose for your life. He loves you so much. You're not an accident. Come on now. They don't even know what we're saying yet. We're speaking the word. That's what we need. We got Kidmo going on over there where we're imparting into children. And I had this vision. We hadn't done it yet. And I'm hesitant to tell you because then it puts accountability on us, but I have a vision of a wall in our Kidmo room with the globe on it and just nations highlighted, and our children every week laying hands on that globe and praying for nations and praying and saying, Lord, send me to the nations, send me to the, Lord, use me. I got that vision, but I don't need just hands. I need hearts. I need people who can go in there and make that happen and partner with us, and let's impact some kids' lives. If we're not careful, we know the statistics that you got a small window to put the gospel in kids, and so we need to take full advantage of that. 52 weeks a year, those kids are sitting in that room. They need more than animal crackers. They need the Spirit of God imparted into them. They need to learn to worship. They need to learn to pray. They need to learn the value of the word. And so we need help with that. We need help in the LP at that time when the enemy is so after our youth. You've been there. You know what it's like to be a teenager and all the junk that's grabbing at you from the world. We need parents. We need people under the Spirit of God who will go in there and not just play ping pong. We can play ping pong at the YMCA. Yes. Need people to partner with us to bless those youth. We need all the ministry teams in here. And it's so easy as a ministry team. You okay with this? I'm just doing a little business. As a ministry team, it's so easy to get into. I'm a greeter, so my job is to do this. Any procedure you do over and over again can lose all of its purpose. And we can lose it. It can just turn into some function. I don't want any dead greeters. I'm looking for people who are full of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of hospitality, understands that they can do more than open a physical door, that their touch, their smile, their greeting can open an emotional door, open the door of someone's heart so that they can receive the word that's about to come forth. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have all these ministry teams. And so if when I say go to you, when I say it's time to get up, if that get up is get involved in some of our teams, and we've got plenty here for you. We need your help. We need partnership. But don't come with just your hands. Get ready to bring your heart, right? But also, I am not naive enough. And I'll tell you this. So often, what we've said to people is serve God, serve God, serve God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit breathes on that, and we get fired up about serving God. And we say, okay, well, here's what serving God looks like. And we put them right in our churches, and we give them a little drawer, and we say, this is serving God. That can be serving God, right? And we need that, right? But I'm not reduced to think that serving God is all about this building and these and Sunday mornings and right here looking like this. The kingdom of God is so much bigger than that. And if we reduce it to this, then we miss everything. So some of you right now stirring in you is a nation, the name of a nation, or the name of a people, or a ministry, or a jail ministry, or a hospital ministry, a nursing home ministry, something you can go do. If that's your calling, go do it. Get hot. We're with you. All right? Find your purpose. But we do need partners with this. So if the step that you need to take is partnering with us, we need you. We need you. And we need the leaders. We need leaders. We need people who can take a vision and run with it. We need people who can lead, inspire, and motivate, and lay hands on the sick. Let them recover. This turned into a church commercial, I'm sorry. The point is, you've been discipled, get up and go. But we need you here. God's calling us as a corporation, as a church as well. God has a mission for us. I had Emily come to me this morning and shared a word for our church. And she said she couldn't wait to stand up here and share it in front of all of y'all. No, maybe not. Okay, so it was all she could do to share it with me. Here's the word she said. She said that the Lord showed her that victory was like a child in the womb that had been crafted and that had just been nurtured and crafted. But now it's time to move forth into something. But I think the word she said was duplication, imitation. She said, be careful of imitation. So victory is not to look around and see what everybody else is doing and try to do that, but instead let God, let the DNA, let, am I tracking right? What God has designed us as a body for something special, embrace that. Church, it's time to burst out the womb and be us, right? And so, come on, give the Lord a better hand than that. Okay, y'all got it. I don't need to keep preaching. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us before we go. And I want to do this. I believe that each one of us, I know that each one of us here has a calling and a purpose. And I want to pray for you if you know what God has for you. Here's what I want to do. If you just know, say, God, I know what it is that God has put in me. I know God has given me dreams. I know what my purpose is. I may not know all the steps and all the whys and wherefores and how we're all going to get there, but I know that God has called me to do something specific. Would you stand? Good. I want to pray for you. Ready? Come on, posture yourself. Get yourself right. Get your heart right. Open your spirit right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come to you, Lord, as people who you have called. We may not know exactly what it looks like. We may not know how we're going to get there, but we know that you've called us. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we decide right now that we are committed to this thing. We are determined to walk in this thing, to move forward in this thing as you lead us and guide us. We're in. I'm 100%, tell him, I'm in, Lord, 100%. Whatever it is, I'm 100%, Lord God. So Lord, once again, I just give my life to you and I join as a partner with Jesus for the work of the Father, for the work of the kingdom. The work of the kingdom. Now, if you're here and you don't know what your calling is, stand up. The rest, all of y'all stay standing who's standing, but if you don't know what your calling is, stand up. Don't give in to peer pressure. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. I don't want to pray for you. Bow your heads. Come on. Start calling out to Lord. God, show me my purpose, Lord. I know I was created for a reason. I know you have something for me to do in your kingdom. So Lord, I accept the call. I accept to be and do what you've called me to do. But Lord, you're gonna have to help me. You're gonna have to help me. And so Lord, I accept the invitation to partner with you and be fruitful. But Lord, give me wisdom. Give me direction. Give me the right relationships. Give me the mentors, the fathers, the mothers, the people to impart into me so that I can accomplish everything you've called me to accomplish. Lord, I bless these who have been called in Jesus' name. I bless them, Lord God. I bless them. I bless them. I bless them. If you're old, it's not too late. God's not finished with you. If you see yourself as an older person who is somehow outdated, the word for the Lord for you today is it is not over. There is fruitfulness to be had. Even in your older age, it's going to look different, but embrace it. Embrace it and be who I've called you to be. If you're young here this morning and you're just energetic and fired up and ready to do something for the kingdom of God, listen, hang on to that thing. There's going to come dark days. There's gonna come days like Joseph when it's like, this doesn't look like it's headed in the right direction. God is shaping you and molding you in those dark days. Youth, listen to me. God is shaping you and molding you in those dark days and in those confusing days. Don't turn loose of the dream. Don't let it go. Embrace the dream that God has for you, and God's gonna use you for his kingdom. Can I hear an amen from the older folks in the church? Amen. So don't turn loose of that. Don't turn loose of that. All right, last thing I want you to do, if you're a part of Victory Worship Center, if you consider this your home, and even if you're visiting and you just want to get caught up in the crowd, not be the only ones standing, that's fine. Would you stand if you're a member of Victory Worship Center and you have a heart for this place? Can we just lift our hands, church, and just ask God to use us, bring us into this next season? Oh, Lord. Lord, we recognize, Jesus, that you're the head of the church, but I stand here as the lead shepherd here in this thing, Lord, and I just say yes to you, God. Lord, please move us out of sitting, move us out of this, out of training, and move us into new areas of fruitfulness in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, may we be people who serve in our community and find people coming to know you in the neighborhoods and on the streets and in the gas stations and in the Walmart, Lord God. Would you make us into that type of body, Lord? Then would you also make us into the type of people that go to the nations, Lord? I speak to the missionaries in the house. I speak to the apostles in the house, the pastors in the house, Lord God. Lord, would you elevate our gifts? Would you help us to move into our anointings? And would you help us, Lord, to do something significant for the kingdom of God, Lord? Would you do that among us today? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to go to victoryworshipcenter.com to get involved.